And whence is it
that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You could almost imagine Juan Diego saying those very words that the cousin of the Blessed Virgin Mary said upon the visitation of Our Lady to Saint Elizabeth. Juan Diego, he was just a recently baptized adult convert. He was 57 years old when Our Lady appeared to him at a place called Tepeyac Hill, very near to Mexico City. And that hill was at one time the former site of a pagan temple, I believe even where human sacrifices were done. See, all of those, or many of those Indians there, the Mayans and Aztecs, all from around Mexico, they were truly diabolic tribes in their religious views with all the human sacrifice and all of that. But in any case, Juan Diego was a widower. Whose wife had died just 2 years before Our Lady had appeared to him. It was December 9th, and Juan was on his way to Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. See, this was the 1500s. The Immaculate Conception had not yet been declared a dogma of the Church and was not celebrated with a Mass on December 8th back then. Then things changed later on. Back then it was December 9th, and he was on his way to Mass for this great feast of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. And on his way to Mass that day, all of a sudden he saw this young, very beautiful girl surrounded by this brilliant light as comes only from heaven. And she told Juan how greatly she loved all of the people of Mexico, and then asked that the local bishop should build a church on the spot. Well, she said, here in this church, on this spot, here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings. So you see already how she wanted the chapel there to be built so that she could take care of the people whom she loved. So Juan, he went to the bishop as soon as he could and told him of Our Lady's request. The bishop sent him away at first, saying, well, I'll need some sort of sign that your apparition is heavenly if I'm to start such a project as that. You'll notice that same pattern. Whenever there's an apparition of Our Lady or some saint and they request that a church be built, the priest or the bishop or whoever it may be always does that. They'll send him away, dismiss the whole case, and tell them, well, I'll need some sort of sign. And in the movies, Hollywood does this to movies, they sort of make the priest or the bishop to be the bad guy. But in reality, that's the prudence of the church. And those priests and those bishops are right in doing that. Otherwise, what happens? Well, you end up following the apparitions of Nisida, the apparitions of Bayside. All of these people, and if only they listened to their priests, they'd recognize and be able to tell the difference between a true and a false apparition. Well, this prudent bishop told Juan Diego, I'll need a sign. And so in the next apparition, Our Lady promised a sign that would convince the bishop and would get him to build the church. But when Juan reached home, he noticed that his uncle, whom he loved very much, was extremely ill and very near death. And so he thought, as any good relative should, well, I better get a priest before to give him extreme unction and hear his confession and perhaps give him communion if he can receive. And so off he went. This might be the part where Juan Diego actually takes a different route so he doesn't meet up with Our Lady. But Our Lady knows what he's going to do and meets him in the path and tells him, as he's on his way to go get a priest, Our Lady told him that his uncle was already healed and that he should not get the priest, but return to the bishop and deliver the message. And so she asked Juan to gather before he left, to gather some miraculous out-of-season flowers and carry them in his tilma that he wore and take it to the bishop. And she strictly ordered him, do not show these flowers, don't even open up your tilma to anyone else along the way. The only person you show is the bishop whom you are to meet. And he obeyed as a humble servant of Our Lady. And as soon as he found the bishop, he began telling the story of what had happened and then let his tilma fall. And all of the roses fell out. But the roses, they were not his sign. It was the miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe that was imprinted on the tilma. And they say, too, that on this original image, that if you look closely in the pupils of Our Lady, you will see a reflection of the bishop that was there, that was shown this miraculous image. Yet another proof that it is authentic and a true miracle. And so, of course, the bishop had the church built eventually. And many people, of course, still to this day come to it. But what else happened as a result of Our Lady of Guadalupe's apparition? Well, news of this event spread quickly, with the result that the Aztecs began to convert. At one time they wanted no part of Christianity. It was the religion of their conquerors, you see. So they didn't want it. The Spanish had conquered the Aztecs. Therefore, the Aztecs wanted no part of the Spaniards' religion, Catholicism. But when Our Lady of Guadalupe came, she won their conversion. And Guadalupe is, they say, it is probably the equivalent, the phonetic equivalent of the title, She Who Crushes the Serpent. And this would be a perfect image of the way devotion to Our Lady was able to destroy all the remnants of the diabolic religion of the Aztecs, a religion which included human sacrifice, and in which the snake was very symbolic and very prevalent. And so it was symbolic of the fact that she would conquer the Aztecs. Now, as a sort of a concluding thought, something to take home with you today, is the thought that Our Lady cares not only for us in general, she knows each one of our particular needs. She knew. Remember when the priest, or Juan Diego, was running to get a priest? Well, he was worried sick over his uncle and the possibility that he might die. But listen to what Our Lady says, and you can apply this all to your own life as well. She said to Juan Diego, listen, put it in your heart, my youngest and dearest son, that the thing that disturbs you, your uncle's sickness, the thing that afflicts you is nothing. Do not let your countenance, your heart be disturbed. Do not fear this sickness of your uncle or any other sickness, nor anything that is sharp or hurtful. And then perhaps the most beautiful words of this conversation, am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle? In the crossing of my arms, do you need anything more? Let nothing else worry you or disturb you. Those are such beautiful words, and words that we all can stand to remember, especially when we begin to worry, become concerned about how this or that will end up in our daily life. Am I not here? I, who am your mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.